blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyambi Tatiyambi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharma Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyambi Tatiyambi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyambi Tatiyambi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness, and emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassion and comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassion and aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious and boastful of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sabha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. that ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
For new to practice, there are back jacks back in the corner of the room that you're welcome to get at this time and bring back to your mat. That can be a more comfortable way to sit during a group discussion if you're not used to being on a bench or a cushion for long periods of time. So what should we look at this morning?
I'm looking, this just seems like it's a fruitful time, and I've been looking at comfort, and it's not comfortable for me to...
Looking at comfort is not comfortable for you?
It's not comfortable for me, and it's not comfortable for me to put my hands up and just right away say, I would like to look at something.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm jumping in there.
Uh-huh. So in looking at comfortable, you're pushing the boundaries of what feels comfortable.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's all wrapped up in breaking through karma, mm-hmm. and about who this person is and what she does. And,
uh-huh.
You know,
so by karma, kind of the habits of how Sequoia, in this case, normally is. Who she is, what she does, what she doesn't do, what she likes, what she doesn't like, what's comfortable, what's not comfortable, how she is with comfort.
Yeah, just exploring all those things.
Uh-huh.
And just looking at comfort, and comfort on so many levels of the comfort, there's physical comfort.
Mm-hmm.
There's the comfort of knowing who I am,
mm-hmm.
and never exploring that or, mm-hmm. going outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
There's the comfort of exchanges with other people only being in a certain way,
uh-huh.
Never wanting to do or say anything that might be
uncomfortable.
I always think for other people, but it's for this person.
Right. Yeah, there are a lot of quotation marks that have to be used in this conversation, aren't there?
Yeah.
Right? Because it's so interesting the way you're talking about comfort. Really, I'm projecting when you drill down to it, translates to what's comfortable for conditioning. What are the habits of comfortable that aren't necessarily what the actual person wants, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And they go unexamined. For this person, at least.
Yeah.
That whole thing about, well, that's the way it is. That's who I am.
Yeah.
Just never any question about that.
Yeah.
And the phrase that comes up is leading a life of quiet desperation.
Mm.
It is not, even though the belief is that if I'm comfortable, I'll be happy. That's not been this experience of this being.
Yeah. And that's so important to stop and really see, isn't it? Because so often that comfort, I'm using the quotation marks again, that's promised to us, somehow we never stop to see that's not actually happening. So supposedly, I'm doing all these things in my life to stay within the quote comfort zone. I'm being the way I think I'm supposed to be. I'm, you know, in interactions with other people, as you said, I'm only doing the things, the only being the ways I'm supposed to be according to the conditioned standards, all of these things. But instead of leading to a comfortable, happy life, it's leading to this quiet desperation.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and it can be that place where it seems like, well, things aren't so bad, mm-hmm. you know, but they're not grand either, you know.
Yeah.
They're not being fully alive.
Yes.
And I don't know whether this has, the other image that popped up for me this morning too is that the Velveteen Rabbit book.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know why I'm feeling very... Mm. I'm not feeling sad this morning, but a lot of just emotion is just, you know, just that thing about, you know, you finally learned how to love, you know, after all your fur's rubbed off and you've lost an eye, and, you know, your arm's falling off,
yeah.
all, you know,
yeah.
just what it takes to get to that place of being able to drop that comfort.
Yeah. And it's so perfect, isn't it? Because supposedly, by the standards of conditioning, you know, what's lovable is the brand new, bless you, fluffy bear with the, you know, just from the shelf, perfect, and the eyes are there, and the ears are perked up, and the... But in fact, what we discover is the perfection of life is the fur rubbed off, and the one eye, and the one, the ear drooped down, and the...
Yeah.
That's being alive, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's something about that that's just so beautiful.
Yeah.
And and I've been looking at that place of looking toward making the focus on I choose love and compassion rather than having it be on the conversation in the head and then occasionally going over to
right.
You know, making that switch.
When it gets really, really bad. Hey, love and compassion, love and compassion. Yeah.
Yeah, and just feeling... Just getting a sense of what that is.
Mm.
The shift that that is. And, I'm just really grateful for that.
Mm-hmm.
Grateful that for teachers and support that just don't give up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that this is what's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be that small life of quiet desperation. It can be this place that the heart just knows that it wants to live in so much is that place of love and openness and vulnerability and you know, and you know, maybe I don't look so good, maybe my fur is gone, but you know, but but I'm available, I'm here.
Yeah. And gratitude for a practice, a place, the teachings, guides, the participants, the beings who don't give up.
Yeah.
Who feel that possibility, resonate, touch in with that possibility, which is what, you know, brings any of us here to a room like this.
Yeah.
And then the courage and the willingness to just keep staying there.
Yeah.
And any time we realize, we remember, we touch back into that place. And that place becomes more and more available to us. And more we want to choose it.
Yeah. And the mystery for me is just to what what, and I don't even have to understand it, but you know what it is that...
Well, because the mystery is so delightful.
It is.
Why would we want to understand it?
And ruin it, okay?
Because figuring it out is the process of conditioning, exactly. Taking it over and making it, right?
But
just delighting in the mystery is, I mean, that is that place
it is.
That you're talking about.
Exactly.
You know, all of those words are synonymous. Love, compassion, delight, lit up, present, alive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's just...
So I've been looking at feeling very blessed and very, very grateful. Mm-hmm. Because today, to this exact day, is the first time 2 years since I came to practice.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. And I am just astounded by the difference in the person sitting here. Mm. And while we were reciting the daily recollection, the last... second to last line of the Eightfold Path, which is, you know, compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. Mm-hmm. I'm just so aware of all the enormous, more than 365 degree change in the life that I have now, in the opportunities that I've been given to be blessed. Mm. And just to look at the person who was so unhappy and so unfulfilled and so to the point of complete disintegration and desperation and having a nervous breakdown and everything to just the sheer joy. I can't wait to wake up every morning. I can't wait to do the work that I'm being called to do. I can't wait to sit on the cushion. You know, it's just to feel so blessed at finally having a path and a practice and a way of being. it's just, I'm really grateful for it. And the second place I notice is that it's a process. So even though I'm not the person I was, and there are huge layers of conditioning that have come off, I'm aware that the lesson is still there. Mm. That there's always something that life wants me to look at. And the challenge, it's like climbing a hilly terrain. Right? You go up the hill, then you can come down the hill, and then you plateau for a while, and the next hill is just waiting. It gets easier to climb the hill, and you trust the process because you know that the hill will lead to the plateau.
Well, and you're kind of more in shape to do it.
You're in more shape to do it, exactly. Yeah. Uh-huh. Meaning you trust the process. And the process I'm looking at is something that's a physical challenge, where two numbers on a meter determine whether I'm okay or not. And for 12 years, I've been checking that 4 times a day to determine if I'm healthy. And the meter is saying I'm not. But I don't feel that way. You know, I am happy, I'm lit up, I can, I'm physically in the best shape that I've been in. I couldn't be more healthy. And yet, there is the impulse to check. There's an impulse to consult an external authority that I've been conditioned to believe is the fact that I'm not okay. And then leading to that place of depression, because no matter what I do, within quotes, the numbers don't change.
And yet your actual experience is when you check in, completely healthy, happy, stronger than you've ever been.
And so it leads me to the Learning to Love Learning Project.
Which is a theme we're looking at as a whole group, as a whole sangha this year.
So what is it? like, what is it that makes those numbers, I mean, first of all, what is it that causes me to look? To continue to believe that that is what is a symbol of not okay. Mm-hmm. But what am I doing? Like, what else can I change? Mm-hmm. Or how do I have to be present in every moment mm-hmm. to a lifelong opportunity to work with whatever it is? Mm-hmm. Then just assume, okay, two numbers means X and it means Y medication and a Z lifestyle.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow. And to live in the not knowing within the world of being okay, mm-hmm. meaning there's nothing wrong.
Right.
Nothing wrong.
Yeah.
And so I have to be okay. And one of the things that I was looking at is that part of the reason this condition happens is stress, that it is actually anxiety mm-hmm. that produces it mm-hmm. in some senses. Mm-hmm. So what am I anxious about that I don't even know that I'm anxious about? Mm-hmm. Or what is the stress that I carry in my body that the body is, and it's there because it wouldn't be there otherwise.
Yes.
And just to be present in, you know, today what do I try?
Yeah.
This meal, what do I try?
Yeah.
This exercise, what do I try? Has it? I mean, there are just a million permutations to explore.
Yeah.
And at one point in time, I would have just given up and went, I'd rather go on the medication.
Yeah. Anyone else?
And just to sit here and know that the practice supports me in paying attention and that the whole point of the game is to find out.
Yes.
Like, what is it that I'm holding in this karmic incarnation that I have to transcend for even that to be okay.
And you know what's so amazing about it is the whole point is for you to find out, not to know.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. And just to live. And that to break the connection between what is considered okay and to go to my experience of feeling so fantastically okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, in every realm.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
It's a radical thing because I'm sure everyone could plug in whatever their content is, but what you're pointing at is, I mean, it's essential Buddhism, what the Buddha taught, that each of us must work out our own salvation diligently. And so we do it as a group and we share insights and, you know, we consult and we can read things and we can, but ultimately, I have to look here. I have to look to this experience. And that place of the amazing opportunity to, okay, so you can do this little test and you can read the two numbers and that gives you some information, but to be willing to look to your own experience and not just go, okay, well, the numbers say, so I guess I have to know.
Yeah.
You know, no, the numbers are numbers. And those are made up, you know, by God knows who for in God knows what way, but I'm the one living in here in this experience.
Well, and it points to me that so while I was meditating, it dropped in. It's like, what are you willing to do to support this form? Mm. Right? So what am I willing to give up eating or be different in order to work through whatever cellular karma that I'm still holding on to? Mm-hmm. Right? What's that level of willingness that I can bring to this? Mm-hmm. And that was it, and it was framed that way. Like, what am I willing to do to save this form? And that's the question that we answer every day.
Yes.
You know, that's why we come to practice, and it's what's that level of willingness.
Yeah. And as you say, that provides that experience you were talking about a few minutes ago. You want to wake up in the morning, because that's an inspiring place to come from. It's not a should, it's not a have to, it's not a I want to. You know, it's an adventure, it's an exploration.
And it's not solving a problem, which is where I would go to normally. It's like it's a problem to be solved, there are these variables and whatever else, and it's a chore to do, and it's something's wrong and I have to fix it. And here there's actually nothing wrong. And so, well then what?
Yeah, right. There's actually nothing wrong, and then what?
Yeah, it's a great place to practice.
It is. And, you know, really for all of us, you know, whatever it is that life is handing us as a content to work with, if we can begin with that, okay, so there's nothing wrong, now what? Yeah. Because anything that's handed to us, the first conditioned response is something's wrong. Yeah. And I have to fix it. And then I become an I who has to fix it. So what practice shows us is, okay, the starting point is there's nothing wrong. Okay, now where are we?
Yeah. And it's the karma bead.
It's what,
the karma bead that we were reciting to, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to suffer the, or suffer or bear the consequences of whatever I do,
right,
and whatever I've done. Mm-hmm. And this might just be my karma to play out. And if there's nothing wrong, I can actually enjoy it.
Yeah, right. And experiment.
And experiment and learn. And
Yeah. Try this. Oh, okay. No. Okay. Try this. Oh, this happens. Okay. What about this? How about that? What about, because if there are no mistakes and there's nothing wrong, then it's all just a big adventure.
And the timing is so perfect. Because the 2 years of practice I have done allow me to be exactly in this place and ready to do it. Because the faith in life leading and making sure that the next block on which I have to step appears. So it's not just the hill, but here's the way, here's the arrow.
Yeah.
You're completely ready to take this hill.
Yes.
I am so filled with that sense of, again, feeling blessed at having the level of practice that I need to be ready for this one.
Yeah, we could almost get very religious about it and say, maybe I'm being handed this so that I can.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm looking at the fallacy of mistakes as well.
There is no such thing.
There is no such thing. Mm-hmm. And it's almost humorous how it dropped in today during the meditation. I had a story that I had come up with about a year ago for a book.
Okay, not an actual
story about a character who doesn't know anything about practice, finds out about practice, does practice, has a little honeymoon relationship with practice, falls off the wagon in practice, lives in despair for a while, comes back to practice, and triumphs at the end. Pretty neat story.
Yeah.
And
anyone can relate to that.
At any point along the way.
At any given day, moment, hour, you go through all of it, like those hills that are shown.
Yeah. And I could say that I know where I've been for a long time now in that story. And
you know which at which point.
At which point. But I've never thought about it that way, that I'm actually living the story. Until this moment, I was like, "Wow, that is humorous. That is probably the funniest thing I've heard in a while." And it came right after, because for a long time I had no idea how this book was going to start, and today I do. It just pretty much, like, it was like one thing dropped in and. It was like a cascade almost, a little avalanche there. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited about it. And I didn't do anything about it. Part of the struggle that I think that I've had is that I feel like I need to do something. Like I need to push something to make it happen. And for a long time, I feel like I've lived that way under the guise of like I'm doing practice. But I'm somebody who's going to make something happen, and I'm going to make a whole lot of stuff happen. And just this. And it's funny, like everything is based in that kind of approach. And at least that's the karmic habit that I seem to have taken on.
So let me see if I'm tracking. So it gets to a point in the story where, in this case, the content of the book, if I'm tracking what you're saying, there's this insight that comes about it, and this cascade of ideas that just arise.
That's right.
And then the next karmic place it goes to is to become someone who needs to do something about that and now start really pushing to make it happen.
That, or that I felt like in order to change what was happening before the insight was that I needed to make that happen. I needed to make insight happen. I needed to figure out how this whole story was going to start. I need to figure out how to do everything. And the answer was never
got it.
Just, just wait for sit there for it and practice patience with it, yeah. And to just keep doing what it is that I was doing. It keeps showing up, because the whole point is to just keep showing up.
Yes.
And
it's funny, isn't it, that over and over we fall for that.
Yeah.
Because it's not our experience that, now let me think about what the next step, it never happens that way. You know, the struggle, and despite all of that efforting, suddenly it just drops in one morning.
Exactly. It's the shower phenomenon.
Yeah. That's all often people talk about, the big insights come when you're in the shower.
Yeah, it's like, so I'm just open to life, I'm not doing anything else.
I'm just here.
I'm just here.
You know, hot water washing over me. I'm just available to life.
Exactly.
And we can guess that life is communicating with us all the time.
Yes.
It's just that so often we're off doing something else, you know, in a conversation with conditioned mind, and we don't hear it. We're not available to it.
That's funny. That's how the story starts. That's exactly how the story starts. Anyway, I'm just, I guess lit up is the word for it. And it's really not, you know, it kind of feels like it's content related, but I think the insight is there are no mistakes. And everything that I think that I'm going through is to feed something bigger than the experience that I perceived that I was having. Everything that I was trying to change, avoid, fix, is part of something that is going to, it's part of the map.
Part
of the story, part of the book.
Yeah, like the character almost has to walk through those steps in order to suddenly be able to step back and see all of it.
Exactly.
And then, in this case, write about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that from that larger perspective, you can see there are no mistakes. That's a fallacy. When you're in it, it doesn't feel like that, right? It feels like you really gotta figure this out. I gotta. That's what happens.
Yeah.
We get identified with it. That's what that means, identified.
Yeah.
We get identified with it. Mm-hmm. We're in that small perspective. It really feels like I gotta make this happen. I gotta, whatever it is. Then, you know, by the grace of whatever, we're just here in the present moment and we have that larger perspective.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's all good.
It's all good.
Thank you.
No.
So it's been 5 years since I stepped foot on this at the monastery.
Wow.
And yeah, it was this time of the year.
Oh,
I don't know the exact date, but but it's so funny, you know, all the things that have been shared, how it's just resonating in me, and it's, I fell off the wagon. I came and I fell off the wagon, and I was living in despair for a lot of time, and it's just been really, it was inconsistent, my practice for so long, and I would say it's probably been, you know, a couple of years now that I've really been excited about this and feeling like I'm doing this work and practicing this, and what I've noticed lately is I have a lot of karma, I think, around what, you know, people refer to as people pleasing. Mm-hmm. And the more I look at it, and what kind of dropped in today during meditation was, it's not people pleasing, it's pleasing the voices.
Oh, good for you.
Because I don't know what other people are thinking. How can I please them when I don't know what they're thinking?
Yeah.
And so for me, it's just this wonderful thing that I am trying to please something that is telling me I should do this for those people, or I should be having those thoughts, or I shouldn't be having those thoughts. And so it's just so freeing. And what came up in our first share was, you know, I'm having to sit with a lot of, you know, discomfort around doing it differently.
Mm-hmm. I bet.
And
kind of a lot of ideas of how you should, again, like was being shared, how you should interact with people and how you should be and what you.
Yeah, and the voice is telling me this is how Karina responds, you know, and
this is how Karina responds. Wow.
And I'm watching it, and there's awareness, and I stop in the moment now, and actually, my mentor is, you can do this differently now, you know, and I've had a lot of great practice opportunities come up lately, and you know, a lot of discomfort around those practice opportunities, but at the same time, I just am feeling so alive within myself during the process and after the process, and I feel like this practice, like that analogy of that terrain, you know, it's I'm conditioning myself, you know, to be able to take on that next practice opportunity, and yeah, it's just, I'm so grateful for practice, and you know, I was able to participate in the workshop where we talked about, you know, lighting up the Sangha, and
the video workshop.
The video workshop, you know, I, because I'd fallen off the wagon so many times, and because I wasn't always coming consistently, and because I haven't done a retreat yet, all, you know, the voices were telling me, you're not part of Sangha, you know, it's, and I just am feeling like, you know, this is where I feel so alive, and this is resonating with me, this work, and I'm just really looking forward to continuing to do this practice,
That's so perfect in what you're saying. It's so in alignment with what we're looking at for the year, isn't it? That learning to love learning. Because that word you just used, so alive. Mm-hmm. You know, I wonder if at a very early age, conditioning convinces us that that feeling of alive is uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, because what you're describing, that place of being in those interactions with people and watching the habits to go to be the Karina, who interacts in a certain way, and then having the mentor come in and say, no, you can do this differently. Mm-hmm. And then that sense of being alive, in a way it's not uncomfortable at all. It's so exciting.
It's so authentic.
It's so authentic.
Yeah.
You know, it's different. Mm-hmm. It feels unusual to us. We're not used to it.
Right.
But boy, it's exciting when that authenticity is allowed to be there and to have that mentor and presence who's supporting us in that.
Yes.
Because it is a transition. Mm-hmm. You know, it is a transition for the being. So to have something, you know, the voices are going to go crazy. No, you can't do that. Look how rude you're being, or, you know, whatever the language is for you. And to have that loving presence to encourage you and to say, no, it's okay. You know, it's all right to have these sensations. In fact, this is what makes it fun and exciting and alive. And
yes.
All those things.
Yeah, all that energy at work, you know, it just feeds my feelings of being alive. And
And as you say, that all that energy shifting is kind of moving things around for you. Instead of being stuck in the conditioned patterns, you're actually, you use the word, kind of conditioning yourself, changing things around to be able to move in different ways, in ways that you actually want to.
Mm-hmm.
Things that really are happy and nourishing for the being, mm-hmm. not just, as you say, pleasing the voices. That I love that people pleasing. It's not pleasing people.
So I just am really grateful for that shift in how I see things, mm-hmm. and that the people in my life, you know, are gonna. I'm sure that. Well, I can't project what they're going to see, you know, but I just am so grateful to be in this place of centeredness as I come into my days, and to feel like I am nourishing this being and coming from a place of authenticity, you know.
Yeah.
And, so.
It's very exciting. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I wasn't actually going to speak just because I was really nervous. This is my first monastery experience, so I'm very, very thankful for today. But then someone taught me about the voices in your head telling you not to do what you want to do, so I decided that I would do that.
Right out of the gate.
So I guess my struggle in... Well, I guess what I'm thankful for is that I've never been raised in an environment to where I was supposed to meditate. I found meditation and yoga on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And being here is something that I've pictured in my mind for years, which is very strange that I'm here. So it's kind of just this feeling of like gratefulness and just... Mm-hmm. like, it's almost like I'm in a dream. Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited to be here and practice, and I'm trying to find, hopefully as I get older and I grow, mm-hmm. that I can have these moments in my life to be peaceful mm-hmm. and to not stress about what I have to do, or if I can just sit down and just be at peace with myself, yeah. you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm very thankful that I'm finding this at a young age. I'm yes. very thankful that I have this opportunity and have people in life. And it seems like right now in my life that the universe is just shoving all this stuff at me. But it's like really good things.
Uh-huh.
And it's uh-huh. not bad. And I'm really uh-huh. just am accepting it. I'm uh-huh. just letting it go.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. Things that maybe before some of them, they would have been labeled bad things. Is that sort of the sense of it? But you're accepting them as just what they are?
Yeah, just like... I'm just trying to accept everything, like exactly, like if something bad happened to me that day yeah. or if something good happened,
yeah.
just taking a moment in my life and realizing I can do this, yeah. I can take this in, and this yeah. will lead to something else, and if it doesn't lead to something else, then that's okay.
Yeah.
But like today, how I got here is amazing, yeah. you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
I
it's
do.
Like
yeah.
when these moments happen in my life,
yeah.
I just...
Yeah.
I wish I could just, well, I'm just thankful, you know,
yeah,
and I
do.
I
yeah.
just really, like, want to express that.
Yes.
Because
yes.
I think sometimes I get lost and I forget to express the way that I feel that I'm thankful towards life.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
And I project that in expressing it, what you're doing is you're practicing living in that place. Mm-hmm. Do you know? Because, I mean, we might have moments of gratitude throughout our entire day. But in a way, if we forget to stop and express that or acknowledge that, then, you know, maybe at the end of the day, the voice says, well, nothing really great happened today.
yeah.
And we forget to question that. We're not really paying attention. And so that's kind of the story that's laid over everything else. So how very wise to stop and take a moment to realize, wow, I am grateful for being here. And to say it out loud, to really practice being in that place, living from that place.
Yeah, it's really amazing. Thank you.
It is amazing. Well, thank you for being here. The courage for putting your hands up right out of the gate.
One of the themes of not believing what the voice is telling you and working on a book and those kinds of things. Let's see. I am extremely privileged to be doing the work. I'm aware of that. Mm-hmm. And there is a karmic tendency when I work to go full bore and then just bow down.
Full bore and then just bow down. Uh-huh.
Okay. I just have a feeling it doesn't have to be that way.
There might be a little
bit. Full bore is great. I'm not going to, yeah. But I think the full bore throws up resistance to, I think the story that drops in that I believe is, it's too much energy, I'm tired, or something mm-hmm. like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had this sense that, no, I'm probably not tired. Mm-hmm. And maybe total bore isn't always available to me.
Mm-hmm.
But that bogged down part is clearly just resistance and believing story. And, So I don't know what to say about that. I think I just want to talk about it so I can remember
when
I see the lockdown happening.
So it sounds
like it'll be a little easier not to go there.
A little easier not to go to the bogged down place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it sounds like something about the full bore triggers the ironically resistance
yeah.
of I.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you said an interesting thing. You said I believes it. which to me in that language there's a at least a recognition that it's not even June, the being who's believing it, that the whole thing is happening with conditioning.
I get identified with the resistance,
right.
The voice that says, too much, got to go, sack out, you know, just whatever it is. Can't keep this up.
Can't keep this up.
And the fact is, the deadline is looming. And keeping it up is going to be really important. You know, another aspect of this karma is, and I've actually known this about myself long before I came to practice. The work that I'm doing is kind of creative, and a creative thought, a creative impulse will occur, and there will be a picture of it. I'll see it, and someone in here has no interest in the process of getting from there to actually manifesting whatever that is. They want it to happen now. That many times has stopped the creativity in its tracks. Nothing happens. And so in the work that I'm doing daily right now, if I don't stay aware of that one, I found it was just sitting there waiting to happen.
Kind of a given. So there's the creative impulse. You can see the picture of it. It just arises. And then there's someone or something that comes in to say... go ahead.
What it says is you can't do that.
Which is, boy, that language is given in the way, isn't it? Yeah. You can't do that.
Yeah. You don't have that talent.
You don't have that talent.
That is not in your list of capabilities.
Go ahead.
When I push against that, when I see that it's happening, and say, oh, okay, let's see if it is.
Are you sure? How do you know that?
And part of what I'm doing is drawing. I'm not a great talent at that, but it is my practice. And so say it again.
Says someone.
Well... I've got to compare myself to the best drawer I know, so that I will come up lacking. and sure enough, the first time I draw it, it's not good. I mean, it doesn't look like what I did. But if I just put that aside and do it again, it starts looking a little better. I'll put that one aside and do it again. In other words, I go through the process.
Yes. And you know, what seems so critical, June, as you're laying it out, is that even that the first time I draw it, it doesn't look so good. You know, what if it were just, so there's the creative person, and she sees it in her mind. And so there's, I would project, kind of a, there could be an excitement and a really wanting to manifest that. And then going through the process of manifesting it. So maybe the first time it gets down on paper, it doesn't match what the original vision was. Okay, so let's keep going. Okay, so let's keep going. Okay, so let's keep going. And if there's, you know, back to the mentoring presence we were looking at a minute ago, if there's a mentor there to assist us with that, then it's the adventure place. It's the exciting. Instead of someone who's going, well, that's not good. Well, that's no. I mean, you should, come on. Let's get it. It needs to be on paper right now. You don't have the talent for that. You don't. Of course that's going to bog down. You know?
So it would be better to consult the mentor than
I think so.
Than the judgmental, resistant karma.
Yeah. Because again, you know, using the image of, so there we are with someone, you know, a close friend who's doing a project. We're never going to say to them, you know, you really can't do that. You can't benefit. I mean, you're no good at that. Of course not. You know, we're going to be there encouraging them. It's great. You know, it could be a little, okay, well, let's keep going. You know, let's do more. Okay, well, let's do this. Let's try that. Let's...
That is such a great tool, and I forget that one. Mm-hmm. What if this were someone? What if I loved this person?
Just say. Yeah.
Just for instance.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That was really helpful to me. I'd like to kind of say my kind of what I'm seeing in terms of that process of sort of sort of channeling life into form is a way of talking about it. I've got this, it's a sort of a project you might say I'm working on that has come up, and it's sort of a surprise. It's like things often are, it's not something I intend to do or plan to do, it's just has come up. And what I see happening is I think partly because it's not something I decided to do, there's like not any really any framework around it. And so what happens is, like, there's things going on, and then I realize that I need to do something or say something, or that there's an action that I have to take. And it's really clear. It's not clear what the outcome is going to be, or why I need to do that particularly. I mean, I kind of see that, but generally the voices go bananas when that comes up, and then I do it or say it. And then just sort of wait. Wait, see what happens.
So there's a project, you know, sort of, something that life has handed you. And so as you're going along, it'll suddenly become clear there's this thing to do or this thing to say about it. And that you're not sure why in particular, but you just do it and then wait.
I mean, I can see why kind of on a sort of a practical, tangible level. But like in the big, this is why the voices go crazy, because it feels really out of control. It feels beyond, outside the box, beyond what's safe and comfortable. So on that level, I was like, I don't know what is going on. But anyway, so there's different levels.
And the voices go crazy.
And the voices go absolute bananas. And then, it's funny, this has happened, this has been going on for a couple of weeks, and this, it like every 3 or 4 days this thing happens where, so then after that, there starts to be this, and then like a sink, you know, the putting out there is a really high energy thing, because I have to break through these, the resistance of, what feels to me like the resistance of karma to expressing. And then there's this thing, for a while that feels really good, and then it starts to, and then I get to this place of there's fear and anxiety and some frustration, it feels small, and then the next movement happens, and it's really very amazing. It's kind of, it's helpful to see, it's okay, every 3 or 4 days, this is happening.
Yeah, it's on a predictable cycle, so it's helping you really to see the process, because it's so repetitive, it sounds like.
And I feel guided through it. And I'm also open to the possibility, which is very high, that everything about what I see in it is completely deluded, which is always kind of the case, but it seems particularly the case in this situation. But that doesn't really matter. Because it's just so important to me as a human and to as what's possible for me in my life to be able to say what's so, instead of, this is really why voices go crazy, I think, instead of, here's the right way to be, here's the right person to be, shut up, stay small, keep a low radar profile, and just go through and do what you're supposed to do, and just give up anything that you feel like you want.
Yeah, so if I'm following what you're saying, what you're seeing is the actual content around the thing doesn't really matter.
It doesn't really matter.
It's just that what you're practicing with it is really listening to life and moving through the resistance that it sounds like comes up around that, you're supposed to be the right person and stay, you know, comfortable if we use the language we've been talking about this morning, or safe, or whatever it is. And then each time you break through that, there's all this energy release, which is a big, interesting sort of a clue, isn't it? That there, all that energy is suddenly available to you. And that really it's not about whether the particular content thing happens or doesn't happen, or is good or right or bad or wrong or any of that, but just the process of being willing to say what's up.
It's so true. I'm glad you brought in the content part, because that's important too, because there's a place in these cycles that are happening where there's a place of attachment into the content, but there's a place in it where I get to this place where I'm completely okay with however this goes. And I suspect that there's ways it could go that I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with all of that. Mm-hmm. It's very peaceful. Mm-hmm. And it remains really high energy, just mm-hmm. because everything's out in the open instead mm-hmm. of
yeah.
being kind of boxed up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's very high energy because it's all out in the open, where maybe habitually that kind of thing would be boxed up.
Yeah, and just put over to the side. Just, mm-hmm. you know, just shut up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, what yeah. you see doesn't matter. What you care about doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Boy, and that's just so, again, with the language, it's so obviously a self-hating place.
Mm-hmm.
What you see doesn't matter. What you care about doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just be, you know, so often we get talked into, well, I can't reveal this content. I can't say what seems so for me because that's not the right way to be, or whatever it is. And we get so talked into the content. But the blessing of being able to step back and see it's not about the content. I don't know if the content is, mm-hmm. you know, whatever the content is. I have no idea. As you said, maybe I'm completely deluded.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the point. Mm-hmm. The point is the process of being willing to put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, the thing is, I mean, if it's diluted and it's coming from conditioning, great. I mean, I really want to see that.
I also want other people to know about it.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we've got insanity here.
Right. Exactly. The only reason not to say it would be to protect conditioning.
Exactly.
And why would we want to do that?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And kind of tagging on to what you're saying, a big piece of it has been a willingness to, it feels like anyway, to align myself with guidance, kind of with a capital G,
mm-hmm.
which has been a huge struggle ever since since I was born, but and in more recent times, you know, yeah. since I came to the monastery,
yeah.
it feels like I've gotten where I need to get with that, at mm-hmm. least for now, where there's that willingness. And this is going to sound utterly simple, but it's just huge revelation to me. I realize there's this little formula that I can follow in terms of that.
Mm-hmm.
Just realized the other day that if I stay open to every possibility,
mm-hmm.
and I say what's so, say what needs to be said,
mm-hmm.
and then follow the guidance
yeah.
that happens without any resistance,
mm-hmm.
it is there is no way to lose. And there's a huge safety in that, because, you know, it doesn't matter if I'm completely out of control, or
yeah.
completely deluded, or in some way it'll go to where it needs to go. Either I'll see that, which
yeah.
will be really helpful,
yeah.
or, you know, maybe things, possibilities will happen that will be good for me, or
yeah.
where none of that is available in that little tiny box of,
yeah.
you know, just shut up and be the right person.
Right, yeah. None of that. Just open to the guidance of life.
Mm-hmm.
Just whatever. You know, back to the trust the process. Knowing that, you know, that's what I want. Whatever life wants for this being,
that's
what I want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what's really going to serve me. So staying in that box, which is an illusion,
right.
and trying to be the right person, which doesn't exist,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's that place of desperation that
yeah.
we were talking about in the beginning.
It's very unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the energy itself is all stuck in there.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's just frustrating. And
yeah, no wonder. When you picture the energy of a being, you know, all of life stuck in this little box, just
mm-hmm.
kind of bouncing around, trying to...
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Remain open, say what needs to be said, follow guidance.
Mm-hmm. It's a good combination.
It is kind of simple. I like that a lot. I saw a bunch of stuff about letting go, dropping stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This author that I just got handed the book to me offhand said that dropping stuff is as easy, is as simple as dropping your keys, which everyone has done.
Mm-hmm. Or your cell phone. And...
yeah. And so I can, what a couple of things were, I wasn't able to drop them. And I could see that the problem wasn't with letting go and dropping it. It was with the requirement that I drop that.
Yes.
Not minding, minding kind of.
Not minding, minding.
The thing going back to that.
Yeah. Let me just give the quick context that a few weeks ago we were talking about, you know, the attempt to, I don't want to mind that, you know, I don't want to be angry, but stepping back, one step back from that and feeling like, well, so what? I'm minding that, you know, that irritates me. Well, big deal. So if we don't mind minding, then we're in a place of acceptance.
Yeah, there's no attachment to that.
No attachment.
That doesn't mean anything like what conditioning might say, but it.
Yeah.
I'm glad I heard all of the little pieces of content. Sitting here, I was kind of still stovepiping my life. I'm a dad this way, I'm a husband this way, I'm a job searcher this way. Mm-hmm. And when I heard all those go by, I configured a router on Thursday, which I've never done before, ever in my entire life. Mm-hmm. And just sitting here, I configured a router, is a job search, is a husband, is a dad, is a sitting on that cushion, is. Mm-hmm. I was totally open to this possibility of that could, this piece of content could be addressed or resolved by actually this person's, that's actually typing in the job person thing.
Uh-huh.
I said what needs to be said and I followed that.
Uh-huh.
And I seem to be, I like that as kind of the watchword of how I might address all the little pieces of content, but I think it's different, they require different formats or different ways to handle them or different.
Mm-hmm.
That's Scam City, man. That's
all that requires presence.
Yes, yes. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Thank you. Sheree.
What I was going to say just flew out of my head. Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember. I was thinking that I appreciate all of the sharings today, and one that really was interesting to me was that, you know, every time my focus wavers or my attention wavers on the present moment, mm-hmm. I've fallen off the wagon, mm-hmm. and I have to get back on. Mm-hmm. And conditioning would make a big deal about that.
It's a big problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's just, you know, coming back and beginning again in that moment. Mm-hmm. And that everything's fine.
That's right.
And also examining, I think we were all kind of looking at this, a belief that, you know, you are responsible for everyone else's experience. And if they're having a bad experience, it's your fault. Mm. And
again, there's the you language, which is such a key, like, right? Such a clue that's coming from just self-hate.
Right. Mm-hmm. And being offered an opportunity to turn that around and give everybody permission to have their very own experience,
yep. mm-hmm.
that I'm not responsible for that.
Yep.
And taking up the responsibility for my experience,
yes,
and being responsible to come back to the present moment,
yes.
begin again every moment.
Yeah, you know, not only is it possible, but it's kind.
Yeah.
It's kind, because what we know from our own experience is that when we're left to have our own experience, to fully have it, not have that taken away from us, or someone try to fix it for us or change it, is that we can be transformed by it. And so to be willing to do that for, you know, other folks and for ourselves is a great gift.
And it's such a relief, set down that burden that I take, you know, I'd taken life's job, essentially.
Yeah.
I was trying to do
life's
job.
Yeah.
And to be able to just put that down and just be responsible for this one's experience.
Yeah.
And to keep coming back to the present moment.
Yeah. 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 And be willing to just let life live through this form.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So
So I'm grateful.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Krista.
Something that was talked about a couple weeks ago was made me think of it in this conversation was when when you break through something, I can't remember who said it, but something like, and there's that euphoric feeling that all that energy because you broke through the resistance to do it differently.
Mm-hmm.
Right then, it's building up. Even though we're not aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was such a...
And by it's building up, do you mean conditioning is coming into... Yeah,
conditioning is already gearing up for its next way to keep you stuck.
Yeah. Yeah. It's back in the, back to the voices cartoons. The boys in the back room making their next strategy.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, she saw through that one.
Yeah.
What's our next move? Yeah.
And then the other thing that I thought about this was... when you feel like, when Justin was talking about feeling like it's so uncomfortable to do it differently,
mm-hmm.
that's how, and I'm saying for myself, of course, that's how we know it's the right direction. Because if it were comfortable, we've already done that. We're familiar with that whole flow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's actually really good to remember that we're born for being uncomfortable.
Yes. Again, and is it when we do that and when we're really present to that, is it really uncomfortable or is it just alive?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're present, because we're available to the thing that, whatever the thing is, however I am, back to what Andrew was saying, how I'm going to be with whatever it is in this moment, what's possible here, instead of referring back to the old patterns, the who I am, how I usually do it, what's quote comfortable.
Yeah.
Thank you all. It's our time.